I'm at TfL's head office in Victoria Street with the TfL Commissioner, Peter Hendy. So, first question, Peter, why did the talks break down yesterday?
Well, I'm very disappointed because if you look at the major issues which the RMT brought to the table, the first issue was pay, where in response not only to them but the other three trade unions who are represented at LU and the concerns of the staff, we presented on Friday afternoon a two-year deal and put the Olympics, the discussions about Olympic service, out for further discussion. So we believe that that's made a big difference in people's attitude to that element. Secondly, there's a question about redundancy, where following the collapse of Metronet and taking it back into the public sector, we've got several hundred jobs which are duplicated, people watching other people, people checking other people, and we don't need them anymore. Now, we, like every other employer, would prefer that to be dealt with through getting rid of temporary staff, cutting down agency staff, voluntary redundancy, all that sort of stuff. And indeed, LU has got some very comprehensive agreements about dealing with redeployment and people whose jobs disappear. And we told the RMT yesterday during the day, that we would honour all our existing agreements. And in any event, we don't actually know whether we've got whether we ever will have to, certainly don't want to, get to compulsion. So we think that actually we're making quite a lot of progress on that score.
Could I ask you, I've read one account this morning which says that the whole thing broke down over the case of two drivers who've been sacked recently. Is that how the way you see it?
Yes, it is. What happened at a late stage is that our negotiating team were faced by being asked or being told that the strike could be called off if two members of staff who have been dismissed were reinstated. Now, that isn't something that we are capable of conceding because the disciplinary machinery is very carefully structured. One of those cases is now in an employment tribunal who will decide on the merits of our arguments and of the former member of staff's arguments, and the other hasn't actually finished being in the machinery yet. So we can't deal with those as part of an industrial dispute, and to have a strike threatened on the basis of, well, either we have a strike or you reinstate these people, it is a huge misuse of the industrial relations machinery.
So in your view, was it that this was thrown in at the last minute, almost literally like a spanner in the works, or is that a misinterpretation of your view?
Well, I think you've got to ask the other side what they feel about the way in which they were dealing with these things. We were also dealing with general questions about the way in which we deal with attendance, about some of the issues about the way in which we deal with staff generally. And those are things that people can raise in the course of discussions about normal industrial relations issues. What you cannot do is deal with the cases of individuals. It's just not... it's not the right thing to do, and it's a perversion of the machinery that we've been operating for years.
Do you think the RMT did this deliberately because they really, really wanted to have a strike, whatever?
I think it was very ill-advised, and I think that actually it's a great shame to be, as it were, in a position where we made a lot of progress on the substantive issues, and we've wound up, apparently, with a real difficulty over two individuals. I don't think that's a good way to conduct industrial relations. And what I do think is that actually I think many of their members, many of the 20,000 people we employ on the Tube, many of the members of the other three trade unions not in dispute who will try to work normally, for them it's a travesty. And for us in London, it will be devastating if the dispute goes ahead.
The RMT is often accused of being a highly politicised trade union. Do you think there's some sense here in which their approach to this is about giving Boris Johnson a hard time, you know, the beastly old Tory, and also perhaps making a point to Gordon Brown? The backdrop to this, of course, is Metronet, the PPP, which was Gordon's idea.
Well, if there's any point to be made to government, actually the fact that we've taken Metronet back into public ownership is a very powerful point to make the case that actually we can do this more efficiently. We will have saved we will have saved £2.5 billion or so from bringing it back in-house, which is what the RMT and many others said should be done. So from that point of view, then to have a dispute following that happening actually is perverse. We have to deal with the trade unions as representatives of the people we employ. And actually, this is an industrial and management matter. I don't think it's a political matter. And indeed, if we didn't deal with them on that basis, then actually it would be hard to see how you could conduct a normal business in a place like this at all.
Now, just dwelling a little longer on Boris Johnson, he came to power pledging to try and negotiate a no-strike deal with all the unions involved with the underground. As far as I'm aware, there's been no progress on that, has there been?
Well, the best thing we can do is to actually seek to avoid having disputes over paying conditions by long-term deals. That was the success of the two multi-year deals that we've had on the underground so far. The last one from 2006 lasted 3 years, and that's actually why we proposed such a long-term deal this time. Nevertheless, we respect the views of our staff, so we've shortened the deal. But actually, the best way of avoiding disputes, and we don't actually have many disputes, we seem to have quite a lot of ballots but not many disputes, is to have long-term deals that allow people to live and work in harmony. Clearly, in the middle of this dispute, it would be futile to raise that sort of question, and we are seeking to address that through getting a multi-year deal with all four trade unions representing over 20,000 people on the tube to give some harmony and some purpose and some guarantees about paying conditions to people who work for us.
So if you could come up with a deal like that, then that might almost be as good as the no-strike deal that isn't actually ever likely going to happen.
Well, the last three-year deal did produce no strikes, in essence, because we didn't have a paying conditions dispute during its length, and I think that was a great thing to do, and there was a great negotiating agreement. And, you know, there's still time to do this. We have people at ACAS now. They are still trying to sort this out. There is no reason to have a strike under these circumstances, particularly, as I stress, when actually it looks as though we've made quite a lot of progress on the major issues that the RMT brought to our attention.
So here we are, it's nearly 12 noon. Do you think there is a realistic chance of the strike being called off at this late stage?
Well, we shouldn't give up. I asked Jerry Duffy and Howard Collins from LU to go to ACAS this morning to invite the RMT to go, and I understand they're going. And if we can get this strike called off at this late stage, then that will be a good thing to do, because what we want for this city is for its transport to run normally, our staff to do a job they're proud of, and for the life in the city to carry on as normal.
Okay. You touched on the sort of longer term and what you would like to see, but if we can just sort of broaden the picture a little bit more and think about the political context, is there more that the Mayor of London can do to affect industrial relations on London's public transport service? Should he perhaps be more proactive? Should he be more aggressive? What do you think?
I think the best thing actually is to employ, hopefully, competent management and to let them get on with the job. I don't see how the mayor can constantly step into what are managerial and industrial matters, and I think it would be unwise for both sides if he did. The direction that Boris has given us is very clear and very good. He would like an equitable deal for the staff. He obviously doesn't want us to make a single person redundant that we don't have to. He's very concerned about the welfare of people who would work do an extremely good and hard job for London. And I think that in that context, his best bet and my advice to him is give us direction and let us get on with it. If he doesn't think we can do that, he should change the management, not try and do their job for them. And that always must apply, just as it applied with the previous mayor, who actually did have various encounters with the leadership of various trade unions, but left the management to get on with dealing with them in terms of negotiations. And that has to be right. Otherwise, the negotiations become political, not industrial.
Peter Hendy, thanks very much.